What we're going to be preaching about, Psalms 34, verses 1 through 7. Would you all stand? We're going to read it all together off of the screen. It says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. I want to continue our talk about let us exalt his name together. Let us exalt his name together. Part two. On last week, we introduced the arching thesis that we should work on our worshiping of God. And we started to talk about how we should praise the Lord with personal commitment. First thing we said was to extol is to praise. I reminded us that the historic black worship experience was so much more enthusiastic than so many of the worship services of today. On last week, I told us that the Lord is the object of our praise. It has never been about the preacher or the choir. Praise is not in denial of problems and troubles. Praise chooses to look to the Lord who's been our dwelling place in all generations. We praise or barak the Lord because of what he has done, what he is doing, and what he promises to do. And then finally on last week, we talked about praise calls for personal commitment. David says, I will extol the Lord. Can't talk for anybody else, but this is what I am going to do. And I say to every believer in this house that you have to have a personal commitment to praise the Lord. I like what the Living Bible says. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. Somebody ought to say amen. That you owe the Lord some praise. Psalms 29 verse 2 talks about give unto the Lord the praise, the glory that is due his name. Could you imagine working for the job and at the end of your 40-hour work week, it's time for you to get your pay and the company say, I don't feel like paying you? Is that going to work? That's not going to work. Well, imagine how God feels after he done brought you through a whole nother week. And it's time for you to give him his praise. And you sitting up here talking about you don't feel like praising the Lord. Now, this week, we go a little further. And I'm talking about how we should work on continual, verbal, and corporate praise. Three ideas this week. Continual, verbal, and corporate praise. Continual praise is the first concern. The first verse says that I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. This is continual praise. When I think about at all times and always, That sounds like a commitment to praise the Lord when things are good and when things are bad. Continual praise. Praise is when friends are all around and when friends are few and hard to find. Continual praise. Praise is when healthy and when sick. Continual praise. Praise is when my money is right, and it praises when my money is funny. Anybody know about your money being funny? Yeah, continual praise. Continual praise. Praise is when the choir sings my song and the pastor preaches my sermon. But continual praise also praises when they don't sing my song, don't preach my sermon. Continual praise. It praises when people respond to my witnessing efforts. And it also praises when people reject my efforts to get them hooked up with the Lord. Continual praise. It praises when those I love me back. And it praises when those I love mistreat my love, take advantage of me, don't love me in return. Continual praise is not like the seasonal praise in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, there is this famous chorus. After the judge dies, the people go back and sin worse than their foreparents. Now, hearing what continual praise is, the preaching question becomes, does this sound like your praise? Do you exercise continual praise, or are you guilty of only praising God on the mountaintops? You only praise Him when all is well in your life. Or are you guilty of only praising Him in the valley? That is, when things are bad in your life, you get in a real praise spirit because you use praise as a bargaining chip to get God to do something good in your life. I am telling you that since God is continually Barak worthy, then the people of God ought to continually Barak or praise His holy name. Continual praise. Then secondly, we should have vocal praise. Somebody say vocal. Vocal praise. David said that I'm going to extol the Lord at all times, and His praise will always be on my lips. This is vocal praise. This is enthusiastic praise. It's not constipated praise. It's not bump on the log praise. This is a praise that everybody can see. The praise is always on my lips. Now, I need to tell you this. Something has to occupy the space. Which I'll repeat after me. Something has to occupy the space. Mm-hmm. Listen to this text. This is Matthew chapter 12. Verse 43 through 45, Matthew 12, 43 through 45. It says, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid or dry places, seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied. It finds the house what? Unoccupied. Swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits. How many? Seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. They don't visit. They done took up residence. They live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. Can you see that when the impure spirit finds unoccupied space, the impure spirit takes over and brings his demonic friends? Something has to occupy the space. Where the Holy Spirit is, the devil is not. Where the devil is, the Holy Spirit is not. Something has to occupy the space. I'm preaching and doing the best I can to get you to occupy your mind, your heart, your mouth with praise. So the devil will have no place to hang out in your life. The devil wants to run your mind. The devil wants to be on your heart. The devil wants to be in your mouth. But the more praise occupies these places, then the less room the devil has to occupy. Something has to occupy the space. It's hard to praise the Lord and curse your situation. Gossip about your peers. Complain about your situation all at the same time. You got to choose one or the other. I'm telling you to choose praise. It's hard to look up to God in praise and look down in despair and depression. You got to choose one or the other. I'm telling you to choose praise. It's hard to think about the power and the love of God and be anxious and afraid of what's going on around you. You have to choose one or the other. And I'm telling you to choose praise. The more you praise, the less you cuss. The more you praise, the less you complain. The more you praise, the less you gossip. The more you praise, the less sadness and anger and anxiety that will plague your spirit. I think you got my point. Come on to the question now. Does your praise, is it vocal? Is your praise vocal? Or do you claim to barack the Lord silently? I'm baracking him silently. It is embarrassing to have more adulation, more excitement about college basketball than you have about the Lord. Some of y'all may not know that this is March Madness, and college basketball teams are doing the very best they can to win this thing. And this is thing called brackets, and people are trying to figure out who's going to be standing at the finishing line. It's really a big deal. Some of y'all looking like, what are you talking about, Reverend? Just take my word for it. It's this thing called March Madness. It's really important college basketball stuff going on. There are people who didn't go to anybody's college. They barely made it out of high school. They never went to college. Who are very excited about their team winning. They didn't even go to college. They're not like the people who graduated from this college and they want their team to win. They didn't go to nobody's college, but they so excited about their team that won this week. They telling everybody they see, whether you like basketball or not, they telling everybody about their bracket. But don't tell anybody about Jesus. Isn't that strange? There are those who win the number. Lottery and get on Facebook talking about I hit. But they never get on Facebook and talk about how good the Lord is. I think you ought to give the Lord more verbal praise than you would give March Madness. I think he deserves more than you would give because you done hit the number. But if you hit, make sure you pay your tithes. If you hit, make sure you pay your tithe. This is a footnote. This is not in the sermon. It's just a little footnote. While I'm in the neighborhood, if you hit, you ought to. All right. Come on back to the sermon. So our praise should not just be continual. It should not just be vocal. I kind of rushed through that because I want to hang out here for a while. Our praise should be corporate. Somebody say corporate. I'm talking about together. That text, verse 3 says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Notice how the pronouns have changed from I to we. Let us exalt his name together. I think you can already see that if I come with a commitment to praise God no matter what, and you come with a commitment to praise God no matter what, we can have a high time in the Lord Sunday after Sunday. I think everybody can see that. As your pastor, I'm telling you, that is not what we do here Sunday after Sunday. We hit and we miss. There are too many who do not participate in the worship. You watch the worship, you're respectful, you don't disrupt the service, you just don't participate in the worship. And as I was praying and thinking about what would make somebody who say I'm saved come to worship service and don't worship, I said it might be that they think they have a right to be silent. And this is where you start moving your head, talking about I'm grown. Do what I want to do. I don't have to praise him. Because after all, then they start getting defensive. Everybody not like you up there hollering in the mic. Everybody not like Sister Hawker shouting all over the place. Everybody not like Elder Washington. Everybody can't play the organ like that. My way is to just be quiet. Still. And that would be fine if you were in your house. But when you came into the Lord's house, the rules changed. You owe the Lord some praise. Verbal praise. Open your mouth. Praise. The more silent you are, the more in breach of the following scriptures you are. Psalms 100, verse 1 and 2 talks about make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You can't be noisy and silent at the same time. Psalms 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't think so. Say so. Can't say so and be silent. Luke chapter 19 verse 40. Jesus says that if these would hold their peace, then the rocks will cry out. That's how much the Lord wants some verbal praise, that if he can't get it out of the people, he'll get it out of the rocks. Even little children can see. If praise is that important to God, then I ought to say something. Silent worship is uninterpreted and non-edifying tongue. Those of you who were in our pastoral teaching today know we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 briefly. In that 26th verse, it talks about everybody ought to come to church with something. Some bring song, some bring word. Everybody ought to bring something that's going to edify the body. You see, we don't come to church for the people on this side to just be over there doing their own thing. People over here, y'all doing y'all own thing. People back there, y'all doing something else. People up in the choir, they're doing something altogether different, and we just all happen to be in the same place, but having an individual experience. This is anti-biblical. We came here to worship together. Do y'all know I can see you? Can you see me? We're in here together. So it's not the same thing like we all worship at 12 o'clock in our individual homes and we just decide to come here instead of being in our individual homes. No, no. We came here to worship as a team. We're in this thing together. It's the reason I'm talking into this microphone so y'all can hear me. Can you hear me now? We're in this thing together. And everything that happens in here ought to help those who are in here. So the song I sang ought to help somebody other than just me. The prayer that's prayed ought to help more than the person who just prayed the prayer. The sermon I preach ought to be good to somebody other than me who preached the sermon. That's called selfish. If I'm the only one blessed by what I do, that's selfish. That's not edifying others. That's self-aggrandizement. When you are silent in worship, that does not edify us. We don't know how to interpret you being quiet in the middle of the worship service. Everybody else standing up, clapping their hands, shouting about how good the Lord has been. Somebody thinking about when their lights was turned off and now you got lights on, but you still got some candles in case you gotta go back. And somebody's thinking about how they didn't have reliable transportation, but you haven't given away those bus schedules. You still know how to catch the bus if you need to catch the bus. Somebody has had hard times in their life, and when they think about how good the Lord has been, we standing up thinking about, Lord, thank you. And while we stand up saying, Lord, thank you, you sitting there looking like a bump on the log. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand what's up with that. We don't know, is it that you don't like us? We don't know, is it that you don't like to worship? We don't know, is it, are you hurt? Are you going through something? Or, worst of all, are you unsaved? And you just came to church. But the reason you don't worship is because there's no church inside you. You came inside the building, but Christ is not inside you. And you just like the way Jesus make us act on Sunday. You find it entertaining. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, as I make my way through this dry area of the sermon, says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. What we are doing in worship ought to be a blessing to somebody other than the person who's at the mic. We are singing, trying to bless one another. Romans 12:5 says, there's many members, but it's only one body. Before I talked to you, you may have been able to say, I didn't know, but now you clearly know. You choose to be silent for your selfish reasons, in spite of you knowing you have a duty to the rest of this team. If you're on the team, you ought to contribute something to the team. If you don't do offense, you ought to do defense. If you don't do offense or defense, you ought to at least cheer for the people that's on the field. If you don't cheer, you ought to at least bring some water, bring a towel, do something. You ought to make some contribution to the team. You can't just sit here and watch us. Well, I might be on the wrong row. Let me go over this row here. It may be not that you think you have a right to be silent. That might be the wrong row. Maybe the reason you don't participate, and I know y'all can find this very hard to believe, but it is possible. You don't like the praise leader. The reason you sit there as if you are constipated, because you don't like the people that's at the mic. You didn't like who prayed. You didn't like who read the scripture. You didn't like who sung. And you sure enough don't like the preacher. But this is my church and I ain't going nowhere. So what I'm going to do here is sit here and show you how foolish I can be. I'm going to sit right here and worship and I ain't worshiping nothing. I can make some DVDs and get rich. Just showing y'all how y'all look in worship. Now I must confess, open confession, it's good for the soul. I must confess, I'm embarrassed, but I can look back over my life and remember, even as a pastor, there's been times when I was challenged by the person who was at the mic. There's a rather vivid picture that comes to mind in the previous pastorate. The woman who was up singing the song had recently caused a significant amount of discord in the church, and she was up leading a song. Now, the girl can sing. I give her credit for that. She got chords. She can do it. But I didn't feel like praising the Lord with her because I knew how much trouble she had caused, and she was a singing demon in my opinion, and I didn't feel like worshiping the Lord with her. That they're talking about Jesus with all that venom and wickedness in your spirit. I want to be with you. And my spirit was just messed up. I didn't feel like praising. You know, I'm a professional, so I can act a little bit and just get through it. But it wasn't right. I did what I got paid to do, but it wasn't right. Wasn't significant worship for me. And the Lord used it as case study. Because as I fell towards that singing demon, y'all might be thinking the same thing about me, a preaching demon. Let me tell you what the Lord helped me with. Whenever I think somebody in church not living by what they talking about in the mic, this is what I do. I close my eyes and I worship the Lord and let the Lord handle that singing demon. I'm just going to enjoy the song service. I'm just going to close my eyes and I'm going to say amen. When that demonic preacher up there say something that's in the word, I'm going to say amen to the word. I ain't studying him. I want the Lord to slap him upside the head. But the word is the word. I don't know about y'all, but I need worship. Some of y'all like worship. I'm dependent on worship. My week is just all jacked up when I don't get some worship on Sunday morning. And so I can't be sitting up here upset and my spirit vexed because I don't like the way you're looking at me. So if it just get too bad, I just close my eyes. And I'm just going to preach anyhow. Like right now, I'm going to close my eyes and I'm just going to preach anyway. And let the Lord fight some battles. Take my word for it. Your life is too short for you to be messing around here. That was almost an amen. Your life is too short to be messing around here missing worship because you don't like the song leader. You don't like the pastor. You don't like the way the deacons pray. You don't like the way where the ushers seated you at. You don't like the way they looked at you when you came up in here today. At some point, you got to ask yourself, why you keep coming here? The ushers always tick you off before you get to your seat. When you get to the seat, the deacons never pray right. Choir never sing your song. And you know that preacher from New York, you can't trust no preacher from New York. That preacher from New York, you know he ain't gonna do right. But you keep coming. Sunday after Sunday, month after month, some folk have been here 5 years and haven't had one worship service. And then finally, trying to figure out why people are so silent, it may just be ignorance of the sin of no praise. When I was a child in Sunday school, my Sunday school taught me there are sins of commission and there are sins of omission. Sins of omission is when you fail to do what God wants you to do. When the Lord says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and you don't make a joyful noise unto the Lord, that's a sin of omission. And you might be sitting here saying, well, I just don't see it like that. Okay. The pastor is telling you there's a way that seemeth right unto a person, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. At some point, you got to learn to lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and let the Lord direct your paths. I'm closing now. I want to tell you there is some power in praise. Now I must confess, yes, the Bible says the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. And therefore, we ought to worship, if for no other reason than out of obedience. But I'm telling you, there's more to it than obedience. Praise has been so therapeutic in my own life. Anybody else know the more I praise, the better I feel? I mean, come on. The more we praise him, the more we remind ourselves that there's more to our circumstances than the negativity that we see. Every time I praise the Lord, I cannot help but remember there's more going on than planes and passengers are missing. There's more going on than threats of war and the Ukraine. Every time I praise the Lord reminds me that he's still on the throne. Every time I praise him, I'm reminded that as bad as things may be, they could have been so much worse. Every time I think about how my feet ache, somehow the Spirit reminds me there are some folk that don't even have feet to ache. Every time you think your back hurts, the Spirit ought to remind you there are some people who are paralyzed, can't even feel their back. Every time we praise, we are reminded that not only can things have been worse, but we are reminded that we can trust the Lord to make things better. Every time it looks like you are at your wit's end and God is late, you might want to go talk to old man Noah. Noah would tell you, well, it rained on us for 40 long days and for 40 long nights. Things got rough, things got tough on that ark with all of those animals. But what I thought was so terrible in the storm was actually the beginning of a new beginning. You know, some stuff gotta die out, wash away, in order to bring in the new stuff. If you don't like Noah, go head on and talk to my older brother, Jesus. Jesus would tell you that God can turn a bloody Friday into a victorious Sunday morning. Every time we praise the Lord, we ought to remind one another that God is still sitting up high and looking down low. He's still working things out for the good of his children. The more I praise him, the less I complain. The more we praise, the less we gossip. The more we praise, the less we cuss about how bad things are in our lives. When praise is inside of me, it leaves little room for anxiety. The more praise, the less anger. The more praise, the less depression. The more praise, the less guilt. The more praise, the less self-doubt. The more I praise him, the better I feel. The more I praise him, the more energy I have to be the bright light in dark times. The more I praise, the more energy I have to contribute to church excellence. The more I praise him, the more energy I have to be still and know that God is still working it out. Has anybody here ever tried praise? Anybody here testify that the more I praise, the better I feel? Can anybody testify? I still have a praise inside of me. Yes, I've been through the fire. Yes, I've come back through the flood. But after all I've been through, I still got a praise inside of me. And I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I joined David. I signed his petition that I will extol, I will barak, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips. It would be marvelous if you and I could praise him together. Is my prayer to God for Southern that we would exhort his name together. I pray for that marvelous day that we would all enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. But as you try to figure out what you gonna do. Let me tell you what I know I'm gonna do. I will bless the Lord at all times, and I can't keep on talking because I'm starting to look at the next sermon. But let me tell you this, when I think about how this poor man called on the Lord and the Lord heard my prayer, I've got to praise him. I've got to praise him. I've got to lift my voice. I've got to lift my hands. I don't want anybody to ever get my story twisted. It was not me. It's been the Holy Ghost all the days and all the nights of my life. That's the only way I'm standing here is grace and mercy. If grace and mercy ever leave me alone, my life is over, my ministry is through. I need his grace and his mercy, and every time he let me mount the sacred desk, I got to praise him, even if I gotta praise him by myself. But I ought not have to praise him by myself. I ought to be able to find two or three people that feel the way I feel. I ought to be able to find somebody traveling along this road that feel the way I feel. Anybody here got a made up mind to praise him on the mountain? Praise him in the valley. Praise him in sickness and in health. Praise him for richer and for poorer. Praise him in storms and in calm. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Anybody here know he's worthy? He's worthy. Hey, he's worthy to be praised no matter what is happening in your life. You owe God some praise. And you won't mess around here and find out. The more you praise him, the better you feel. You think praise is just about him, but you're going to discover the more you praise him, the better you feel. It's therapeutic to the praiser. You can't keep sitting under all of that stress and think it's just going to get better. Sometimes you just got to come here and put it in the hands of the Lord. If you choose, you can pick it up after worship. But can you just lay it down for 2 hours of worship? I mean, some of you are so dutiful in worrying about your problems. But you would be shocked, flabbergasted. It would blow your mind to know how much better you would feel if you can just come to worship and lay your burdens at the master's feet. Let him handle your problems. And just enjoy being in the presence of the Lord. Just enjoy the memories of how good the Lord has been. and just dream about how what God has done for others, He's able to do the same and even more for you. You live beneath your privilege to come to church as many times as you do and never worship the Lord. There is power in praise. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a marvelous day. Come and get right with God.
This is what I do when I want to be close to you.
If you know you need to come today,
I lift my hands in praise.
Bless you, man. If you know you need to come,
praise is who I am.
Just step out in the aisle and come on right now.
I will praise Him while I can.
Right here and right now.
I'll bless Him at all times.
Just step out in the aisle and come on.
And I vow to praise
You. The door is open. Come on.
Through the good and the bad.
Don't let the devil talk you out of this again. If you know you need to come, just come on.
Whether happy or sad,
the door is open.
I'll praise You.
The invitation is extended to you.
In all that I go through,
if you know you need to come, just come on right now.
Praise is what I do.
Come on while you can. Come on while you can.
Praise is what I do.
My brother, my sister, you ought to come. You ought to come.
It's what I do.
Are you coming?
Praise is what I do. It's what I do. Praise is what I do.
This is your chance. If you're coming, would you come now?
Praise is what I do.
You may be seated. Oh, yeah.
It's what I do.
Oh, bless the name of our God.